World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
No, I did not watch not 1 second of the debate. Not 1 second. I wasn't going to put myself through that. I've read a few of the reviews here this morning, but I don't care. Because, look, it doesn't matter whose review you read. Somebody was rooting for somebody. So if somebody was rooting for the bearded one, they'll write a good review about him. If somebody's rooted for the sissy man, then people are going to write good reviews about that. So I didn't spend my time watching any of it last night because it's all just theater. It's all just theater. But it did spark something inside of me that I really want to speak with all of you about here this morning. I appreciate all of you tuning in. I'm going to give a few seconds here for some of the late arrivers. I'd have them running laps. If it was on a football field, they're late. They're late for the meeting. I'd have them running a few laps. And crazy times. I'm going to dive right in here real quickly. I by the way, I don't know if you guys know this or not. Mike Heath is doing a show. Mike Heath started a show at an hour before this one. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. So if you're insomniac and you can't sleep, get up at 6 a.m. Mike has a kind of a lead up show. I spoke to Mike today and Mike's always doing good stuff. Lord. I'm going to dive in something hard today. I'm going to tell you, I had a discussion with Michelle before I came down here. Hang on. Yes, we're working on hurricane relief. Yes, we are. And if you're out there right now and you're watching and you have contacts down in any of those areas, please get a hold of me. We always go to these things. We do great work during these. Men love to go serve. It's the number one. It's a mercy ministry. We look and see what happened down there in, I want to say Kentucky, but it's Georgia, Tennessee. We watch it and we'd say, oh my God, that is so horrible. And something inside of us wants to help. And that's the American way. It's a good thing. But you don't just go and help. Although if you buy yourself, maybe you could load up in your truck and drive down there and take a chainsaw. You could do that. And people are doing it. And it's noble. And I'm glad that they are. Praise the Lord that they are. But this is a really, really different situation. We are going, okay? We are going. But here's the different situation we have right now. I don't know if we've ever seen a situation where the roads are closed. Freeways are shut off. Bridges are out. Some of those towns maybe haven't even really been reached yet, where the real problem is. I could jump in my truck and drive down there tomorrow. Today, I could be down there before noon probably. It's not that far. But where would I go? Where do I go? And so that's really kind of where we are. And this, folks, this is not going to be it'll be cleaned up next week kind of thing. This is a long-term thing. And I know a lot of people are anxious to go, and I'm anxious to go, and I want to go down there and help those people. But I'm telling you right now, you might be in the way. You might be in the way. So if you have any connections down there, we're looking for a church to sleep in. We don't a place to be able to take a shower. There's always people down there feeding, and although that's, you know. So if you're in that area or you know somebody in that area, say, hey, can you help Coach bring a team down? We want to go down and partner with other teams that are already on the ground and work together. That would be unique, wouldn't it? We all work together. That would be unique. But that's really what we would like to do. And I've heard from a lot of people. They want to go. They want to donate. They want to help. They want to do whatever. But I'm not going to haphazard it. I'm not going to sloppy drive down there. So I'm looking probably more towards next weekend when we can really go down and begin to make a really, really big, really big difference. So all those who are out there asking me, sending me emails, yes, we are going to go. And yes, we would love for you to come. But this is a little bit different. See, when you went down to Hurricane Katrina, and Dale could explain this, or anybody's been to some of these disaster reliefs, most of these things, you have a disaster area. Like a tornado comes through and boom, you have an area where the tornado hit. It's very centralized and you can get outside the damaged area and drive in and help. It isn't like it down that. That's not the way it is down in North Carolina. It's everywhere. It's not like a storm blew through. A flood came of almost biblical proportions. You know, wiped out roads and a rope. It took literally, they had, what do they call it? Landslides. Houses slid off of hills. Mud came down, covered them up. There are people buried, roads that are buried. This isn't just, I'm going to go down and show up with my cup of water and feed people hamburgers. Although that's all needed. It's long term. And there's more coming. So again, I don't want to sound like I'm angry. I'm not angry. I'm frustrated. I need some help. Somebody that can help get on the phone and find some place we can go and we will partner. Now, listen to me. Save your money. No donations yet. Do me a favor. Do not give one dime to the Red Cross. Can I tell you another one? Do not give one dime to the Salvation Army. Did you know that the Salvation Army?
Amen.
The Salvation Army is not allowed to share the gospel. What? The Salvation Army? The Salvation Army? They're not allowed to share the gospel? No. They can't share the gospel anymore. Why? Because they take government money. I'm not making this up. So when we go down, we feed them, we minister to them. They're brokenhearted. They've never been more open to the gospel. And Salvation Army, I'm sorry, man. Put a nickel on the drum, save another drunken bum. Salvation Army, on the Red Cross. Oh, my goodness. So I got that off my chest. If you want to help or you're looking to help, we're working to try to figure out how to get it done. All right, cool. Don't know if it made any of you mad. I don't care. Anybody got the hand up yet? Let me get over here. No. Okay. Say good. So I said, I was talking last night. I was talking today, speaking today, talking. Sounds. Here's what my focus is. I didn't turn on the debate last night because I could not sit there and watch effeminate men anymore. I couldn't do it. See, I didn't care. What Tim, whatever his name is. I didn't want to tune in and hear his policies. I really didn't. By the way, anybody know anything about this guy? Where did this guy come from to become vice president of the United States? A gunshot away from president of the United States. Anybody know anything about this guy? Same thing with Kamala Harris. Where did she come from that she is now the most qualified person in America to be president of the United States? Tell me you're jiving me, right? You're jiving me. And to think that we actually have people who are going to vote for her. What? I'm going to dive into something today. It's going to, I don't care. It's going to make some of you mad. Should be made mad. But what has happened to us, I'm looking at my notes I put down here. There ain't no manhood. There ain't no masculinity in America anymore. You know why they hate Donald Trump? You know why they hate him? Because he's an old-fashioned man. He's an old-fashioned American male.
Boom.
Now, those of you sitting there in judgment of Donald Trump, I want you to ask yourself this. I heard a pastor tell me one time. He didn't tell me. He was speaking, and I heard it. He said, "Do you think temptation is strong when you're poor?" He said, "You wait till you're rich." Wow. What would you be like if money was no object? If your entire career, grown life, was about building bigger, better, broader, richer, and your goal was to become this whatever multi-billionaire Trump? I wonder how you would fare if that were you. I wonder how you would fare if you were Donald Trump in that situation. In his 30s, in his 40s, in his 50s. Probably could have any woman he ever. I bet women were throwing their play. I bet you. Throwing themselves at him. I asked my wife this question when I came down. I love my wife. She always, yin and yang. She always sees things from a different perspective. And I said this. Help me clean it up here, Lord. Are real women, if a woman was going to go out and pick a man, she could pick any man that she wanted to have, any man she wanted to have. Girls, would women tend more towards the Donald Trump type or the John Kerry type? Would you trend more towards the Clint Eastwood or the Ryan O'Neill? And I think that in the heart of most women used to be that they saw Donald Trump types as masculine. Lost, yes, but a hunter, a provider. A doer, an uncompromiser. That's what Christian men used to look like. And it's only with the advent of women's liberation, whatever that term means, equality in the workplace. Stop it. You stop it. I love my wife. My wife is more than my partner. My wife runs the house. I run the home. Tough decisions I make. She was not designed to make the decisions that I sometimes have to make. And it's true in your marriages too. It's not just in my house. And a strong masculine man protects. I protect my wife. I don't have my wife go down and debate with the whatever contractor we might have. I go out. That's my role. Now my wife, who's unbelievably competent and quite a woman in her own mind, in her own whatever, on her own, she has skill sets that I don't have. She's better at mercy than I am. She loves to go visit women and the orphans in their time of need. She loves to do it. Why? Because she's made differently than I am. She is a feminine woman. I'm a masculine man. I understand. I'm talking to you guys. I'm not talking about me. I'm just using me as an example. See, I see a problem and I know somebody needs to help with that problem, but I also know it isn't me. It isn't me. I can't take my masculine persona into that situation because it will crush them. So it's my job to say, somebody needs to help that one. Michelle, can you find somebody to help that? Are somebody tracking with me here? You understand what's going on? But see, what they've tried to tell us for how many years, at least 70 years, 60 years anyway, that men and women are equal. You haven't bought into that, have you? You haven't bought into that. Do you think Vladimir Putin, I bet he's laughing at dealing with Kamala Harris. I bet he's chuckling. You think he chuckles dealing with Donald Trump? No. He ain't chuckling dealing with Trump. So we look at what they've been giving us in the... Okay, I'm going to stop. Take Donald Trump out of the picture. Bear with me. Can you tell me the last masculine president of the United States is? I'll tell you who it was. I don't even hesitate. Was it Georgie Bush? Was it Jimmy Carter? It'd been that old Reagan guy, wasn't it? It'd been that Reagan guy. He's kind of masculine, that guy was, wasn't he? People loved him. But see, they don't love Donald Trump. He has those same characteristics. Like it or lump it. He has those same characteristics, those masculine, get the hell out of my way mentality. I don't care whose feelings I hurt. We're going to get the job done. That's masculine, folks. And that's all gone out the window. In fact, it ain't even in your church. You got a wussy of a man standing in your pulpit. Huh? Somebody say amen just so I don't feel like I'm quite alone here. Because I'm telling you, I'm nailing it today. See? And so they feed
amen.
Us. They feed us. They feed us JD, whatever his name is, and this other Tampon Tim. And we're sitting there. Look, I didn't watch it. I wasn't going to watch it because I'm going to say, who the hell are either one of these guys? Who are these guys? And this woman? You know what? I loved coaching because at the end of the game, look, I'm going to ruffle your feathers and you may not want to come back here. At the end of the game, when I walked across the field to shake the hand of the opposing coach, I wasn't looking for no woman because football is a man's domain. And I was screaming and hollering in my own house last Sunday when I turned on, was it the Browns? I can't remember who I turned on. And they had a woman play-by-play announcer. See, it probably doesn't bother you guys. If you don't understand, it's a woman trying to enter into a man's world and destroy manhood. If you don't see that, say, well, coach, it's equal rights. Yeah, it's well, hell, good then. Then let the sissy men go talk about painting and sewing. Let them go do that stuff. But football is a contact sport. I want to talk to a man who played it. I don't want some woman talking to me about football. Now, see, we're in a society today where that sounds racist or bigoted or whatever, homophobic. No, folks, it's the tearing down of traditional female-male characteristics. It's right in front of our eyes. Can you believe that Tampon Tim could be president of the United States? Huh? First of all, can you believe that Kamala Harris could be president of the United States? And Tim, these are the most masculine world leaders. See, they're scared of Trump, aren't they? You know who else is scared of Trump? The politicians in Washington, D.C. are scared of Trump because they know he's a man and he may say something about them that they don't like. And yeah, he may have screwed 450 women in his life. And yeah, he may have done some steady. Yeah, he may have done all that stuff. But now he's standing as president of the United States as a man standing in the door. And they want us to vote for a woman and a man who acts like a woman. Somebody say amen, so I know I got a friend out there. Come on, somebody help me out there.
Just amen.
Amen.
And we've been conditioned. It's into the church. We've been conditioned in the church. Men in the pulpit acting like women. And I can tell you this. Women don't like to hear me come and preach because I'm speaking to men. Right? And every man worth his salt who played football, when they sit into a presentation I make, they feel like they're back in the locker room and that testosterone starts coming up outside of them again. It starts, whoa!
Amen.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Huh? That's why they don't want me in churches. You think your pastor, come on! You think your pastor was a strong, masculine guy besides elbowing him in the ribs saying, come on, pastor. No. No, your pastor probably is closer to Tampon Tim. Other than maybe he's holy. Maybe he doesn't sin. Maybe he's a good, godly man. But he ain't got a bit of masculinity inside of him. And they're feeding us that stuff over and over and over and over and over and over and over. So the debate was meaningless. It's all just a setup. It's all just a setup. Come on now. You really think that the average American NASCAR guy is going to go in the voting booth and vote for Kamala Harris? Come on. And it ain't because it's sexist. It's because men are looking at that and saying, I ain't going to follow that B-I-T. I know too many women like her. Whatever happened to masculinity? That's my question here today. Hang on. I got something for you. I got a lot for you. Always do. Pull up for me real quick. The masculinity video. Pull this up. Hey, women. Look, before you get that ready. Hey, girls. I married a woman. I have two daughters. I have 6 granddaughters. I love women, but women are not men. And when God created them, church people, are you listening to me? God, I'm sorry. Almighty God was not a woman's liber. He wasn't. Now, look, I'm not talking about equal opportunities. I've shared this with you before. Our 2 daughters both played college softball. Abby played at Hillsdale College, and Maggie played at Marietta College. Maggie started her first step on college campus at Marietta College. Maggie was a starting center fielder. First day, Abby played third base. Abby didn't start as a freshman. She played a lot as a freshman, but then she was a third baseman at Hillsdale College for 3 years. And neither one of them could have made their high school baseball team. Why are we acting like men and women are equal when they are not? And what kind of man would send a woman to war in his place? What kind of man would do that? I'm giving you some truth. But see, you are so brainwashed. So brainwashed. That you can't see it. The destruction of manhood, manliness, masculinity. That's why they hate Trump. That's why they hate Trump. I'm sorry. Unsaved men. You ready? Bed women. Unsaved men. They bed women. Donald Trump's a multimillionaire, probably a billionaire. You think he's bedded some women? You think some women wanted to be bedded by Donald Trump? And then we look at the freaking media who probably sleep around like we can't even imagine sleep around. And they want to point a finger and call him because he did something to some woman 30. Come on, wake up so that you understand what's going on. And how do we get to the point where both political parties give us Tim and Kamala? And the average men voting for them? Are you kidding me? It's amazing. It's amazing. True manliness. Huh? I don't know what. I just Googled it. I just Googled this morning. October 5th, 1878. A speech by James Freeman Clark. October 5th, 1878. True manliness. Go ahead and play that. Hey, play it at 1.5.
A false notion of manliness leads boys astray. True manliness is humane. It says, we who are strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak. Its work is to protect those who cannot defend themselves, to stand between the tyrant and the slave, the oppressor and his victim. It is identical in all times with the spirit of chivalry, which led the good knights to wander in search of robbers, giants, and tyrannical lords, those who oppressed the poor and robbed helpless women and orphans of their rights. There are no tyrant barons now, but the spirit of tyranny and cruelty is still to be found. The good knight today is he who provides help for the blind, the deaf and dumb, the insane, who defends animals from being cruelly treated, rescues little children from bad usage, and seeks to give working women their rights. He protects all these sufferers from that false manliness, which is brutal to the weak. The true knights today are those who organize to prevent cruelty, or to enforce laws against those who, for a little gain, make men drunkards. The giants and dragons today are those cruelties and brutalities which use their power to ill-treat those who are at their mercy. True manliness is tender and loving. False manliness, cold and hard, cynical and contemptuous.
Merrick
the bravest
Garland.
And most heroic souls are usually the most loving. Garibaldi, Kossuth, Mazzini, the heroes of our times. Luther, who never feared the face of man. Gustavus, Adolphus, and William of Orange, are examples of this union of courage and tenderness. Bold as lions in the defense of the right, such men in their homes and their private life have a womanly gentleness. False manliness is unfeeling, with no kindly sympathies, rude and rough and overbearing. True manliness is temperate. It is moderate. It exercises self-control. It is capable of self-denial and renunciation. False manliness is self-willed and self-indulgent.
That's a boom, isn't it? That's a boom. Hey, Spencer, go ahead and play Teddy Roosevelt. I sent that one to you as well. Hang on. We're talking about manliness, masculinity here, all right? We're talking about masculinity. Huh? Hey, look, I ain't going to send no woman into war to fight on my behalf. I ain't going to do it. They ain't taking my daughter. I'll crawl in there in a wheelchair before I let them take my daughters to fight. Go ahead.
The poorest way to face life is to face it with a sneer. There are many men who feel a kind of twisted pride and cynicism. There are many who confine themselves to criticism of the way others do what they themselves dare not even attempt. There is no more unhealthy being, no man less worthy of respect, than he who either really holds or feigns to hold an attitude of sneering disbelief toward all that is great and lofty, whether in achievement or in that noble effort which, even if it fails, comes to second achievement. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who, at the best, knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who, at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat.
Compromising the church. Who are you to judge, huh? Love everybody, coach. Huh? Just embrace them all, right?
Can you put that in the chat?
Put both of them in the chat. The assault on manhood in America and in the American church is an abomination. It's an abomination. It's an abomination. Like Matt Torella said yesterday in the video, where are the men? Where are the men? Where are the men? Huh? Oh, you can find males. You can find a lot of them. Where are the men? See, that it's a dichotomy, isn't it? It's a dichotomy. Because isn't it amazing that men are motivated by me yelling and women are turned off by it? Not all women. Some women like it. But it's pretty much the dynamic. Men like it. Men want to be challenged and confronted and encouraged to do better. Women just hear the tone of the voice. Because men and women aren't the same. Men and women aren't the same. Yet they're trying to tell us every day that we are the same and we're not the same. And our society will not survive if we get Kamala Harris and that sissy woman with him. They call him coach. What kind of guy would play for that man? I know this. I went to a reunion a couple weeks ago of our 1990, it's a long time ago, championship team and our 19, I don't remember what years they were, a long time ago. Can I tell you something? Those kids are now men. They loved me. Oh, you should have heard the stories. coach, you did this, and boy, coach, you did that, and that changed my life, and coach, you did this, and you made me do this, and coach, that shaped my whole. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about out there? Huh? Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you're not even allowed to talk like this in America anymore. In fact, some of you probably are uncomfortable right now. Because men and women aren't the same. Well, who's saying it's a man's world? It wouldn't be nothing without a woman and a girl, right? It's a man's world. It is. It's a man's world. It's a man's world. It's the way God designed it. Not that we would walk on women, not that we would take advantage of women, but we would lovingly care for, protect, nourish women and children. That's what men do. Not Kamala Harris, not Hillary Clinton. They're not men. They're trying to be men. And they've created a generation of women just like them. And they all vote for them. And Tampon Tim, as they call him, he got the babysitter pregnant while married and then aborted the baby. See, now, wait a minute. He's a hero, isn't he? Donald Trump does the same thing. I don't know if he aborted the baby, but he bedded a lot of women, and he is a scoundrel. But Tampon Tim, oh, he's a woman's dream because he knocked her up. Sorry for the harsh language. He knocked her up and then wasn't even man enough to raise the baby.
Boom.
And women say, oh, there's my guy. You see how screwed up we are? See how much on everything have been turned on its ear? And by the way, those same values are now in the church. Oh, I'm going to say it. Do I have to say it? Somebody tell me to say it. Somebody egg me on.
Say it, coach.
Okay, say I will. Okay. What kind of man would sit under a woman pastor?
Boom.
Huh? Follow the woman into battle? Well, she may be a brave, bold woman of God, but she ain't got no business leading the parade. Sorry. This is what they've done to the culture. To where this point, where what I'm saying sounds bigoted or homophobic. You see how they programmed you? See how they programmed you? Pete Rose dies yesterday, 83 years old. What a scoundrel he was. But all of America loved his tenacity, his manhood, his go for it all, to do whatever you have to do. They loved it. Now, who do we follow? Oprah. What's that other girl's name that they threw her off? Ellen DeGeneres. Degenerate. Huh? Who are heroes? Katy Perry. Taylor Swift. These are the folks, this is by design. This is the devil is doing everything he can to destroy masculinity. Come on there, Roger.
I have so little of importance to add, but I'll try. One of the most difficult things I have anymore is, and I still enjoy sports on TV a little bit, is, you know, you've got the panel of people, and, you know, there's two Hall of Famers, you know, a recently retired future Hall of Famer, and then they've got the female kind of leading the charge with the group. I mean, it is unbelievable to just, I almost turn it off every time, and but you can't
women
get
women sideline reporters, like, yeah, like, yeah. A woman could really understand, yeah, being on the sidelines of a man-on-man football, yeah, game. Like a woman could really relate to that. Are you kidding me? Go ahead. Yeah.
But other than not watching, you can't get away from it anymore. You know what I'm saying? Right. And then what really drives me crazy is, you know, the total female commentators, you know, two women, and that's happening. And it's just, like I said, I can't add too much of importance to your conversation. My depth today is not that deep, but boy, that drives me crazy.
Just, well, Roger, they're just showing what's going on in the church. Women are running
sports. No, I know.
Women are running sports, I guess, huh? Women are running sports. By the way, you notice they never give you any fat, ugly glasses wearing women on the sidelines? Always a little bit of that sexual tease in there, right?
A little bit of that candy.
Yeah, a little bit of that eye candy. You're not supposed to objectify women. Well, then why do you put the pretty women on TV? Put some old fat slob with a bunch of pimples on there. Why don't you do that? Oh, because it doesn't appeal. Well, you're bigoted because there are a lot of fat women with pimples. Give them their due at the plate. Come on, relax here, all right? I'm making a point. We're so brainwashed. They set, whoever they are, they set the standard in society. You don't. The church sure as hell doesn't. Kevin.
It's a spirit of Jezebel that has just proliferated everything. Everything. But getting back to what you were talking about earlier with Donald Trump. Here's how you are like Donald Trump. I wish I could have known you when I was a young man and I played for you, because I would have done everything I could to impress you, because you impress me. Amen, you are a facilitator. That's the word. Facilitator. I'm a facilitator. Donald Trump is a facilitator. We set our minds to doing something, and by gosh, whatever it takes, however hard we get pushed down, we're going to get the damn thing done.
And women won't vote for him, Kevin. Women won't vote for him.
You know, I've pissed off a whole bunch of people in my lifetime because of the way I am. But I'm the way I am because I've had strong men in my life. Thank you, Coach.
Amen. You look, I'm not going to do this right now. How many of you would like to have an hour talking to my wife? Because I'm going to tell you something. Look, I'm not patting myself on the back, okay? Because I got this harsh exterior, it seems to be, right? Because I'm a coach. She's going to tell you what a loving, caring husband, father, grandfather I am. A masculine man isn't just some guy that comes in and wields a whip. A masculine man is somebody who nurtures and cares and loves and reaches out and soothes. That's a masculine man. A masculine man is a guy who stands there and says, look, I'm wounded, but where can I help? Yeah, I'm wounded too, but I'm going to cover you. Yeah, it hurts me too, but I'm going to bleed on your behalf. That's what a masculine man does. And I got to tell you, when women get to the point where they don't want a masculine man, we are in a world of hurt. And I want you to look at the type of men that they're programming us to. Look at the black culture. Look at hip-hop music. Those are abusive black men. That is a that is a version of masculinity that I reject totally and completely. Huh? Are you with me? But the idea that greater love has no man than this, and he would lay down his life for his friends. See, that's why they try to make Jesus out to be a sissy. Hey, Spencer, real quickly, pull up some sissy pictures of Jesus for me. Will you do that, Spencer? Let's find some sissy pictures of our Savior. Images of Jesus. Huh?
Anything that Michelangelo did because he was gay.
Yeah, that's true. Huh? Look at it. Oh, well, hanging on the cross. That's a good one. But can I tell you something? Hang on. Right there. Hanging on a cross emanates weakness if you don't understand that he willingly did it, that he laid down his. That's real power. He said, don't you know that I have the power to give my life or have the power to pick it up? I got all power, baby. I'm a man. I'm laying down my life. They ain't taking it from me, baby. I'm laying it down. That's power. Look at him smiling with a bunch of little kids. Got two women standing under at the cross. The last thing they want is a warrior Jesus. Look at these pictures. So ask yourself this. If you weren't a Christian, is this a guy you want to follow? That who you want to be like? No? No. See, he was so powerful and bold, they hated him so much that they went to the government to have him killed. That's what a threat Christian, I'm sorry, Christian masculinity was to power. Come on in, Adam.
Thanks, Coach. Listen, when I was pastoring a traditional church, every time I did counseling with people, I found out that the issues were that the roles were reversed in a marriage. Yep. The women had become the spiritual leader. The men had become the yes, 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 dear, yes, dear, yes, dear. Mm-hmm. The roles were reversed. And it's the same way in society. They're trying to reverse the roles. Now, we got men playing women's sports. We have women that want to be president, the CEOs of companies, and like you said, female pastors. None of that's biblical, and none of it's right. But this is all from the devil. And men have to stand up and take their authority back, and we have to say, no, I don't accept it.
But, Adam, they're going to hate you when you do that. Do you understand that? Hey, folks, you know who Caitlin Clark is, this great, great NBA basketball player? She would not make one NBA team. She wouldn't make one team. She would not even be the last player sitting on the end of the bench. Why? Because men and women are not the same. Are they equal? Well, they're equal in that they get the ability to live their life according to the giftings that God gave them. But for me to say that Arnold Schwarzenegger and my wife, Michelle, are equal when it comes to athletics, you're dumber than a friggin' rock. How do you let them spew that stuff and then you agree with it? They're not equal. They're equal in opportunity, but they ain't equal. Johnny.
Although it's an important ingredient in life is emotion, but we must be careful on how we apply it in a recipe as an ingredient, because if it's not applied properly, it will lead to weakness and porous, where God is our rock. The Bible is a recipe book, and these are emotion is a very vulnerable thing, I think, and it can bring weakness if we're not careful. So we need to decipher how to apply and how much to add into situations, because I think that emotion, although it's very necessary in life, just as passion is, but it also can lead to very dangerous outcomes.
So, Johnny, this last weekend, we had a big birthday party type thing at our house, and our 10 grandkids were there, and there are only 2 boys, 8 girls, and little Declan, who's I lose track of their ages. He's maybe 2. I don't know, Michelle. I'm sorry. He's always around girls. His sisters. He's got 3 sisters. His cousins that he play with, they're sisters. And so he is emotional. He's weak. He's young. I get it, right? I said the most foul, oh my goodness, a homophobic, bigoted thing I could ever say to him Sunday when he was doing one of those fake cries. Anybody know what I said to him? Hey, Declan, quit acting like a girl, as he's surrounded by girls. And can I tell you something? They all knew what I meant. His sisters and his cousins knew what I meant. You're whining like a girl. Because why? Girls are more emotional. I know some of you women are getting mad out there. I'm just telling you the truth. Women are the more emotional creature. That's the way God created them. And when you are controlled totally by your emotions, you're acting like a girl. Men acting like girls. And Tim, they want to talk about Donald Trump and all the women he's bedded down. And Tim Walz was having sex while he was married. Was it with a babysitter? I don't know. What? But see, he did the right thing. He murdered the baby. What a wonderful man he is. He's just like us. Judd, come on in.
Yeah, just to add, you talk about the masculinity of Jesus. You know, these new-aged Reformed churches, is if you look into, you know, the history of it, you know, Oral Roberts University and their movement, you will not find a picture of Jesus in any one of their churches.
Hmm.
If you walk into the churches, that in fact, they won't even have, in most cases, won't even have a cross. They won't even post a cross or Jesus or the Ten Commandments in any of their churches. And if you go and ask one of the pastors, they say, well, that's kind of offensive for new people that are coming in here. We don't want to drive them away. We want to,
yeah, there you go.
We
yeah.
want to reach them first, and then we want to let explain to them what's going on. You're like, okay, I see what's going on now.
Yeah, they want women and men who act like women because they're easy to control. John Loveland.
Hey, thanks, Coach. Good morning, everybody. Hey, Coach, I was reading Isaiah chapter 3 the other day. That was actually probably a month ago, and something stood out to me. Isaiah's illustrating the judgment of God upon the Israelites and their apostasy. And he said that at that time, in that era, he said that women and children were ruling the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at Congress, we got some children in there running things, and you know, God placed an order of creation. When he put things in order, he created the man first, and then he created the woman. And you're right. I mean, the equal, we're all 100% equal. He said, "There's neither Jew nor Greek, nor male nor female. We're all one in Christ." Right. However, there's a usurping of authority when you change that order. And that's what the enemy is trying to do. He's trying to usurp that order, the order of creation that God put into place. And through that, you turn everything upside down. It becomes an abomination, and you're going against the creative order that God placed for right. humanity.
So it's the devil that's doing that, right? My body, my choice, yada, 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 yada. That's in the church, man. The problem is in the church.
Coach?
Go ahead.
I would say just one last thing. I would say it's the church's fault that this is happening, because rebellion happens when a sect of individuals or people, or, you know, let's look at the women's lib. You know, what happened there? Men had their thumb on women. They didn't treat them the way they should have. And it's in the church. They took the submissive thing way off the charts. And if men had loved their wives as Christ loved the church, is what he's told us to do,
right,
then we wouldn't have this problem. It's the church's fault.
It's all the church's fault. Amen. 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 It's all the church's fault, because you go into the church and you've turned the fathering over to the pastor. The pastor is now the father of the American church, not the dad. Not the dad. Sorry. Mark Trump, then Lauren.
Yeah, the poke it in your eye to God. I'll give you an example. When Judy, my wife, was hired by the United Methodist Church in Salem, Virginia, she was hired by a lesbian female pastor.
Mm.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that, man. That's woman.
Well, if you combine all of this, and I just said, well, is this biblical? Well, look what it says in Timothy there in chat, Coach. I mean, Christ would not suffer women to be in charge, is the way he words it, because it says Adam was formed first, then Eve.
Amen.
What John said is the natural order is from the beginning, Coach. Amen.
So, Mark, again, so that we understand this properly, I was a head football coach, and I've said this before. When the game was over, and win or lose, the reporters came to me. They didn't go to my wife. They came to me and said, Coach, what about this here and what about this? And I always said, I never said, you know what, that dumb quarterback, he threw the ball to the wrong guy and he ran the wrong path. I never say that. Never, ever, ever. I said, man, we got to do a better job. We got to do a better job of coaching.
Own it. Amen.
Out there, but, Huh?
Own it. It's you my own fault. It. Amen.
Yeah, it's my fault. It's my fault. And you know, when we walked in the locker room, you know what the players knew? They knew it was their fault. But a man protects.
Amen.
Now, when I got in the locker room one-on-one and I pulled that quarterback aside, we had a man-to-man talk. I didn't do it publicly. I didn't embarrass for him. I said, listen, brother, I want you to know I just covered for you. I just covered for you. But you're going to have to step it up. You're going to have to man up, or we're going to find somebody else to play that position.
That's man talk.
That's man talk, see? And then what would happen? Then mommy would call me the next day. Oh, I'm just telling you the truth. And mommy would call me. So you want me to raise your son to be a man or not? You want me to help you? Huh? You want a man's man? Or you want a compliant son? That's it. Choice is up to you. I'm going to coach him. I'm going to coach him as if he's my own kid. That's what I'm going to do. Man, I feel this so deep. Laura Ann, come on in. I didn't mean to shove you to the back.
Oh, it's all good, Coach. Thank you. I'm glad that you're clearing up male and female. I like being referred to as a female.
Yes, you should.
And watching men be called men, right? And I've been, as a single mom, you know, they want to put on me being a man. I'm like, I am not a man. I don't want to do this by myself.
That's right. That's right.
And even in the church now, it's like, you're not male and female, you know, and it's all twisted and it's all made up. And even in the church, like, you have to be a single mom, abort your baby. They don't even talk about it. And then they don't even talk about the healing process that needs to happen.
Tim is a hero because he permits women to murder their offspring. That's manhood today, folks. Instead of the woman looking and saying, I'm in this mess because of you, dude. Oh, no. I'm sorry, honey. It's your choice. Whatever. I'll live with whatever you want to. Rather than saying, you ain't going to kill my baby.
Exactly. So, and men aren't standing up saying, you know, saying anything. Like, even my daughter's father said, and his wife said, this was your choice. You have to live with it. I said, no. It wasn't my choice, and this baby belongs to God.
Amen. Amen. We don't believe that, though, right? Boy, we're all over today, aren't we? Adam, come on back in.
Hey, Coach. Yeah, I think that the men that approve this stuff are just men that want to have irresponsible sex.
That's
right. And don't want to man up and be a father.
That women, when they brought the birth control, they took all your power away. When the pill came out, they took away all your power. All your power, and you don't even know it. No, you don't even know it. And now, I'm just telling you the truth. I wonder how many virgins you can find in the local high school. All the fat, ugly ones, probably. How many good-looking virgins are there? I went to our daughter's volleyball game the other night. Y'all see what they dress the volleyball players in? You'll see it. What's wrong with us? How could... Look, Frex, men have eyes. And a man goes to a volleyball game and he sees. And they got high school freshmen, eighth graders out there in skin tight skivvies playing volleyball in front of men. Where did that come from? That girls wear bathing suits to play volleyball. Come on in, Jeff.
Hey, Coach. You know, we've got six kids and there is nothing that makes me feel manlier than having children and then grandchildren.
It's
what it's all about.
Yeah. You know what else, Jeff? I'm telling you. This sounds arrogant, okay? Please take it in the right way. When I sit down in my chair in our house, a chair in our house, and the door opens and our grandchildren come in, whether they're all coming over to dinner or... they run to that masculinity. They run to it. Because we have a little ritual when they come in the house. You know, hey, there they are. There come the, whatever I would call them, the crap sacks. And here come, and they all come over and give me a big hug. And my little grandson, the little Declan, he can't wait to snuggle against me. because there's something radiating off of me. Sorry. That he wants. David the same way. And our granddaughters know when they come to Grampy's house, they do what Grampy tells them to do, and that Grampy will love and protect them. That perfect masculine model. They don't come to our house and rule the roost. They come here and Grampy says, do this, don't do that, and they do it and they love it because they find safety in masculinity. True masculinity, they find safety in it. Randy. There, Randy got on mute, bud. Well, that's unusual. Huh? Yeah, Mark. The unborn child pays the price for the parents' irresponsibility and sin. That's what the unborn, huh? Oh, yeah, yeah. And isn't it amazing that Jesus said that in order for you to live, I have to die? And that abortion says, in order for me to live, you have to die. And that's a position of many Christians in the world. Randy, your hand's still up there, man. You're distracting me. You want to get in? You can't get in? Whatever. Look, I'm just getting started on this. I got so much information I could give you on masculinity and the new masculinity. Justin Bieber? Huh? Where's Hank Williams when we need him? Hank Williams Jr. Where's Johnny Cash? Could they even make it today? No. Look at the black entertainers. Sissified men or thugs. You think it's not done by design? I think it is. Pull up C. No, I don't want to go there. I only got 3 minutes left. I'm about done. Anybody want to punch me in the nose or whatever?
You're doing good. Keep going.
Okay. You're always out there encouraging me. See, we don't know. The church doesn't even preach it. The church doesn't even preach masculinity. Doesn't even preach it. Men don't even know what it means. Alan the pretzel man. Save me, Alan.
Coach, all I can remember hearing is God saying, Adam, where are you? And whenever they got into the discussion of what was going on, God nor Adam would even mention her name.
Isn't that something?
They called her woman. They did not call her Eve. God wouldn't even acknowledge it. You're right on point, Coach. You're right on point.
So, Alan, Alan was a former coach as well. So, Alan, I'm telling the truth, right, about the locker room and the football environment and the manly environment. And the worst thing that happened is a female kicker to come in. They want to get the females in there everywhere they can. Right, Alan?
Coach, I had them loaded up one night, and we had a little, money problem with the school board here where I was working. And next thing I know, the cheerleading coach is trying to shove her cheerleaders on my bus. And I got on there. I said, all the women off, all the ladies off. Well, Coach, what do you mean? I said, y'all not riding with me to the game. I said, I'm trying to get these guys' minds right. Y'all got to get off. And they got off. And they got another bus.
They're trying to put the cheerleaders on a bus on the way to the football game where men are preparing to go to war, and they want to put the cheerleaders on. Is that what you're saying?
Ain't happening on my watch, Coach.
Hey, get off of here, right? This is no place for a woman. Can we say, are we allowed to say that anymore, Alan? This is no place for a woman.
Boom.
Not even
allowed.
That's
the truth, Coach. Hey, Coach. That's the truth. No, they couldn't handle it nowadays.
Yep.
Coach. Yeah, yes. I have a comment on that I thought a lot about. And I'm going to go into an area here that is taboo, biblically speaking. But
do it quickly. We got a minute left. Do it quickly.
Okay. Well, in Greek mythology, the plants that were associated with women and objects were retrograde, and the ones with men were prograde. Women think retrograde. Men think prograde.
Mm.
Interesting analogy. Just a comment. Thank you.
Yeah, it is an interesting analogy, huh? My body, my choice, huh?
Coach, if my daughter was still in school and they tried to let Johnny go in the shower with her, I'd be in jail, Coach.
Yep. The pastors think it's progressive. We're progressive. No, no. We're regressive. Huh? I believe in masculinity, biblical masculinity. We need it at this most crucial time if we're going to save America. So that's it. See you tomorrow.